Born in the grip of oppression, I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. But when I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud.
America is burning. Will you pledge your life, your fortune, and your sacred honor to save America? Welcome, everyone. This is Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education. How many of you know where that sentence came from? And I suggest this week you read the Declaration of Independence. That was the last line. When I read it before, the last time, I substituted Obama's name for King George. See how it fits. You'll be shocked. Did you get a chance to see the Republican convention? Are you noticing the difference as the two parties are putting together their platform? One platform actually authorizes terror in a revolution in order to transform, which means destroy, America, while the other, the RNC, offers hope with proof of how America can be great and all Americans can participate in America's greatness. I find the lies that the DNC, I cannot believe that I used to be a member of the DNC. When I lived in New York, you had really no choice, but nothing we saw was ever like what's going on right now. Until, of course, we go back and look at the 60s. And if we take a capsule version of what went on in the 60s, we can see exactly the same thing happening today. As you research our history and realize what is not there anymore, we realize that the goal is exactly as Michelle Obama said, to change the course of history. But change it into what? In the 1950s, we had a lot of investigations, and the reason being is that it was discovered that our tax-funded foundations were providing material to brainwash our children in schools to believe that collectivism was more important than individualism. In the 1950s, a committee was even formed in Congress to investigate and to see what was going on with our tax-exempt organizations. What was discovered was that many of the foundations were, quote, weaponizing American educational system to enable what was described as oligarchical collectivism, or collectivist rule by an oligarchy. And this was done by the financing and the promotion of internationalism and, of course, moral decay. This committee was called the Rees Committee, and what they discovered, and I'm going to read you a quote from Norman Dodd, who was the director of research of Congress's Select Committee. He said, quote, "What we have uncovered was the determination of these large endowed foundations through their trustees to actually get control over the content of American education." Some of the foundations that were investigated were the Rockefeller Foundation, the Carnegie Institute, and the Rockefeller-funded Dewey Laboratory School at the University of Chicago. At a press conference, David Rockefeller thanked the press and said, after 40 years of doing this, he was happy that the press did not report on what they were actually doing. So what were these organizations doing? Well, some of the larger foundations directly supported subversion, namely in the process of undermining our American values and principles. They promoted globalism and distorted history, and those were their major priorities. As the communists fled Germany in between World War I and II, the people who went to the Frankfurt School, which focused on Fabian socialism, came to America. And eventually that school morphed into what we know today as the Aspen Institute. And that institute focuses on globalism. It would be a good idea for you to take a look at your legislators and see how many of them have attended that globalist monstrosity. By focusing on the teachings of John Dewey, who became known as the father of American public education, our students began to learn that there was no such thing as an absolute truth, and the concept of absolute truth was revolutionary in practice. So therefore, truth was no longer important in America. In 1982, G. Edward Griffin interviewed Dodd, and Norman Dodd told him that the goal of the foundation scheming in education and beyond was to crush individualism, to promote collectivism, and to prepare the way for the United States to be merged with the totalitarian Soviet Union. In 1963, the communist goals were read into the congressional record. Goal number 32 says, support any socialist movement to give centralized control over any part of culture, education, social agencies, welfare programs, and mental health. Goal number 39 said, dominate the psychiatric profession and use mental health laws as a means of gaining coercive control over those who opposed communist goals. Number 40 said, discredit the family as an institution and encourage promiscuity and easy divorce. Number 41 says, emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of parents, attribute prejudice, mental blocks, and retarding of children to the suppressive influence of parents. And one just has to listen to what the teachers are saying as they are afraid, as the parents see what their children are reading, that children will be taken out of school and put in a homeschool environment. Number 42 says, create the impression that violence and insurrection are the legitimate aspects of the American tradition, and that students and special interest groups should rise up and use force to solve economic, political, or social problems. Nothing is more evident today than what we are seeing. I would have to say mission accomplished. And I ask you to please read those goals and share those goals with your legislator, because every time you listen to one of the talking heads, they always say, where is this coming from? And yet no one points to the school. Well, in view of taking over our welfare and our health, we got Obamacare. And now we have the CCP virus. When discussing the virus, I like to bring in my good friend, Dr. Joe. Last week when I was talking to you all, I was talking about the statistics of COVID, of the CCP virus, and how the statistics were being skewed. This week, we even have the CDC who just reported that, yes, we were right. The statistics are being skewed. So I brought back my favorite doctor, Dr. Joe Doyle, and he is my statistics man when it comes to the virus. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Joe. I wanted to ask you, what do you make of that CDC report?
Well, hi, Karen. It's good to be with you again. And the CDC report is a little revealing, but I think we have to be careful on both sides as to what's really going on. As you know, there's a report that says that 94% of COVID death certificates listed the comorbidities. So people are saying, oh, well, then that really only means 6% of the CDC reported deaths are from COVID-19. And that's not true. The truth is somewhere in the middle. You could actually go back and take death certificates 101, which actually we never got in medical school, because as you've heard, doctors get maybe a half a day to a couple of days of training in nutrition. Well, they get even no training in how to fill out a death certificate. You learn it on the fly in the hospital wards. So there's many ways that these death certificates are being filled out, and that's part of the problem.
Well, do you think that what I have been reading is that it appears as though the deaths are going down. Is that true, or is that at least happening?
Yes, it is. As of today, we have 183,602 deaths in the United States. And in Florida, we have 11,187. In fact, Florida, we're down so low that we're down to 800 the past week, which is absolutely wonderful.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. And our positivity rate for last week's testing, because we do it on a weekly basis, was 5.5%.
Oh.
So we're doing much better than we were doing most of the summers. You know, in July and August, we were up to about 15%. So we were a little worried about that little spike. But again, we expected it because we flattened the curve in the spring so that we could have the cases in the summer.
That's right. Everybody remember that. The whole objective was that the hospitals would be prepared. Not that anyone thought nobody would get the virus. It was just that we had to be prepared with all of the equipment. So I see that we are past that threshold. Is that correct? Hospitalization has gone way down and no hospital is overcrowded and everybody can get the treatments that they need. Is that correct?
Yes, we're doing much better in that regard. Now, we still have the hot spots in Miami and Fort Lauderdale. Miami actually just opened up their restaurants on Monday to half capacity.
Oh.
So they're finally getting more into the reopening.
Oh, that is wonderful news. That is really great news, people, because people need to go to work. Because I don't think people are paying attention to what is an after effect or what is a consequence of what has been going on, because I did notice that the suicide rate is going up because people are so depressed. And I think hopefully with the reopening, that should help quite a bit, because when people work, they feel fulfilled, which is what work is all about. Would you agree with that? Are the suicide rates still as high as they were? Do you think that they are going down because people are feeling better about themselves as they're able to return to work and do things in a, quote, kind of normal kind of idea?
Well, I would hope so, but I really can't say because we have a couple of other confounding variables. As you know, the federal supplement for the unemployment ran out at the end of July, and Governor DeSantis unfortunately only made a decision a couple days ago to sign up for the extension of the other 300. The governor also this week extended the moratorium on foreclosures and evictions. So that should help, but a whole month has gone by and people are in dire straits. So I don't know how they're feeling right now in September since they had a terrible August.
Well, hopefully as things begin to reopen, people will feel better about themselves, because that's what this is all about. If you feel good about yourselves, you can conquer anything. When you feel bad about yourselves, the whole world looks depressed, and we don't want to go there. I also read that the people, and I saw this the other day when I was out, people are wearing plastic face masks. What was that all about? Is that a replacement for the mask, or is that in addition to what they were, plastic masks that covered the entire face?
Yes, well, they're easier to see out of, that's for sure. However, if you look below the mouth, there is nothing to hold the virus in. So I don't think they're as effective as an actual mask that is tight fitting around the mouth and the nose. So I'd look at it as a supplement.
Ah.
Because it does protect the eyes.
Oh,
you
okay.
Wear the mask or goggles.
Where does the virus go? It goes in through your mouth, through your nose, and through your eyes?
The mask is really to protect someone else from you, because when you talk or sing or spit, it'll catch the virus particles that are emitted from you. The other way is not so good unless you're wearing one of the N95 masks, because the virus particles still can come the other way. The biggest thing that I've been telling everyone is hand washing. Because when you touch, if your hands are dirty and filled with virus, you touch your mouth, you pick your nose, and you rub your eyes, you're going to put virus into your body.
Okay, so that's why hand washing is so important, everyone. And as our children are going back to school, I would think that that would be the most important thing that we should be teaching, would be the hygiene, so that the kids are
absolutely
aware of what's
correct.
Going on.
Yep, and the schools went back this week. From what I can see in our local school districts down here in the southwest part of Florida, only about half of the children are going for in-person instruction. The other half are either doing a virtual version of what the public schools are doing or have gone to homeschooling.
Well, you know my opinion on that, folks. Homeschool, homeschool, homeschool. And when you homeschool, don't use the curricula that the public school provides. There are much better, much more robust, much more honest curricula than what you would be getting as far as the government school, because if you're just using what the government school is providing, then we're back to the same spot. And that is the inaccurate information that is in our public schools and then gets filtered throughout everything as our kids are going to learn to be communist victims. And that's a real, real scary thought. So if you are in a position that you can homeschool, and I also suggest that you go to your Facebook homeschool in your county, you will find many organizations of people who group together to be able to homeschool. Remember, hygiene is not being taught properly. And that's something that I would think is the most important to stop any virus. Wouldn't you agree, doctor?
Yes, and the thing is there's a new symptom that you need to look out for in children now that they're going back to school, pink eye. Now, we know you can get pink eye from handling money and this and that, but it is associated with COVID. So if we're worried about children possibly getting sick from COVID, you got to look for pink eye.
Okay, and can you explain that to people who may not be familiar?
Well, you get an inflammation of the conjunctiva of the eye on the outer part of the eye, and it makes the eye look pink. So that's an indication that the eye is getting infected, and most likely from COVID. It could be bacterial, but you have to keep your eye, with what's going on now, you have to consider COVID.
Okay, and if you see anything change in your child's eye, then what would you suggest the people do?
I suggest you take them to the doctor and get them tested for COVID.
I think that's a wonderful idea. Thank you so much, Dr. Joe. I appreciate your input, and we'll have you back again as we work through the bringing back of our economy to America.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
It's your news and entertainment network. news blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I have had the opportunity this past week and weekend to review the 45 goals of communism that was read into the congressional record in 1963. And when I started reading some of these goals, a lot of things that were going on economically happened and are happening now. Therefore, I decided to bring in my friend and expert in the economy because he worked in Wall Street. Ricky DeSantis was a 9/11 survivor and worked in the financial district and on Wall Street. So welcome, Ricky, and thank you. And I have a question for you. Did you get a chance to read any of the goals, these 45 goals that were read into the congressional record?
Yes, I have, and actually I highlighted several of them that we have actually witnessed full implementation of, or the attempt to, over the past 4 years with the president, with the presidency of Donald Trump, who is a populist candidate, as you know. And again, these are communist goals, 1963, from the book Naked Communist by Cleon Skousen. I think it's important to note the year 1963, another great American rollout in 1963 after the assassination of John Kennedy, and that was Barry Goldwater, one of my role models and mentors, who ran in the 64 presidential election campaign, the primary. Am I correct?
Yes, you are. And these folks, please understand, these are things that are not in our history books. These are things that your children are not learning about America, because all they are learning right now is that they are victims and they are due, and because they didn't get their due, they have the right to go and plunder, which was the policy from a couple of thousand years ago. I thought we evolved from that, but I guess not. So, Ricky, I am very, very concerned, as we have learned that so much of our everything is on the doorstep of China.
Over the past 28 years, going all the way back to Bush Sr., who I never cared for, Ronald Reagan was involved in a presidential primary and presidential election, very similar to our current president, Donald Trump. And it's important to note that you spoke to the schooling of the young children. We must remind everybody how Stalin and Hitler said the same thing: give me your children at five and I'll give you the future. It's also very important to note that we must remember we need to deduct 12 years from the age of these deviants, these misguided Ritalin addicts that are in the streets with IQs probably hovering around 82 and yes, lacking cognitive and critical thinking skills.
And when America was founded, the average IQ of our founders
yes,
was upward from 130 and up. 120 was really the lowest that any of them had. Now, today, in the 80s, after the putting in of this new modern education, the IQ of Americans was now 100. Today, as Ricky just said, the IQ of Americans is somewhere hovering around 80.
It's also important to note that I remember specifically when I reached middle school, they started testing for IQ, and you always wanted to finish number one. You were always striving. That was the American culture: winning, winning, winning. And our president speaks of winning all the time. The point I'm trying to make is I can remember being in sixth grade, fifth grade, third grade, eighth grade, wanting to have a very, very high IQ. How do I achieve that? What do I do? Read, read, read. I sought personally to have a very high IQ, work very hard at it, because it's about exercising your brain just as much as exercising your body. So going back 12 years, our president, God bless him, Donald Trump, and I would like to say this, I would ask that everybody pray for him. It's president, has been in 4 years, and then you had 8 years of the Obama administration, that's 12 years. Most of these individuals out in the streets are in the ages of between 19 and 22. If you back 12 years off of the 22 years old, that puts them at 10 years old. Exactly. If you back 12 years off the 19-year-olds, that's 7. So 7 to 10 years old, when the Obama administration came in, that's how old they were. So what grade would that be, 5th or 6th?
Between 4 and 6.
Okay, so 4 and 6, that's when they started rolling out the Common Core, and they started deviating from the educational practices and the 3 R's, reading, writing, math, and also started pushing towards dividing us, tearing down American culture, breaking down cultural standards of morality, presenting the degeneracy.
Getting rid of the statues is also one of the goals. And
exactly.
That's why I keep on saying everything old is new again. Nothing changes. All we have to do is go back and look what they did in the 60s, and we can see what they're doing today. Everything is laid out. Hate the police. Isn't that what they're doing? Riot. Control the media. Isn't that what they're doing? And the one that really got me was the information on China. That
exactly.
Was really scary. So while they are saying on one hand, go to Russia, it's Russia, it's Russia, 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 it's not. It's China. Am I correct, Ricky?
Absolutely. And like I said, go back to 2008, 12 years ago, into these schools, into the elementary and middle schools, they began to gain control of key positions in radio, TV, motion pictures, discrediting American culture, just degrading all forms of artistic expression, attacking the sculptures from the parks and buildings. You're seeing them tearing down statues now. They've taken it to the extreme, eliminating all laws governing obscenity because of the pedophilia, and then moving into homosexuality at a young age, degeneracy and promiscuity as normal and natural now and healthy, and teaching 5-year-old boys to perform sex on other 5-year-old boys, infiltrating the churches, replacing revealed religion with social religion, discrediting the Bible, the Ten Commandments, things of that nature, eliminating prayer or any religious expression in the schools, which is what communism does. You're not allowed to speak out or show any religious actions or prayer in public in China or in any school. There's 3 million Uyghurs in concentration camps where they kill them, extract their organs. Okay.
And as you're saying that, I'm reading here also, discredit and dismantle the FBI.
Yes.
Transfer the powers of the police to social agencies. How many people thought that was a new idea? Oh, we should have social workers. Here it is, one of the goals of 1963. Treat all behavioral problems as psychiatric, psychological disorders. So you have psychiatrists and drugs and all kinds of therapy. They're making a fortune on the ancillary businesses. Think of that one also.
Yes, and they're allowing foreign countries to own the company that are making these revenues through taxpayer funding, whether it's Medicare, TRICARE, Medicaid. Congress allowed the sale of one of the major pharmaceutical companies in this country, which was originated in Chicago, and that should never occur. No company that gets 95% of its revenue from the taxpayer should ever be put in the hands of a foreign country.
That's
now, going forward with the schools, they also eliminated the prayer, the Pledge of Allegiance, discredit the American Constitution. Now it's to the extreme of kneeling. They're using race. We'll get to that. Discredit the American founders. They start out by using race, by saying they were slaves.
The last one that we should mention is the integration of the press, because number 20 and 21 is infiltrate the press and get control of book review assignments, editorial writing, and policymaking positions. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and motion pictures.
China owns Hollywood, that's a fact, and they also own the NBA. So moving from there, too, and discrediting the founding fathers, let me be very clear, there was no slavery worse than servitude. And millions of white Europeans were placed in servitude. Don't get me wrong, all slavery is wrong, and it was our founders built, created, and wrote a document that stands today and changed the world forever called the United States Constitution, Bill of Rights, and Declaration of Independence. And these are the three things that in our education system they removed from history in teaching the children, because they would learn the importance of our founders, the importance of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights.
And that's the power. That's the power that they think they have. They're giving their power, their rights. They are allowing themselves to be controlled. And let us not forget that slavery was not a black-white issue, ever. That's what this was. You plundered an area. You decided you liked your neighbor's whatever, and you went and you took it. And if they didn't stand up for you, you took everything else also. That's the way it was at that time. And it didn't matter what color you were or what country you were in. If I was bigger than you and I wanted your stuff, I just took it.
And back in the day on the high seas, they were known as pirates. And our Marines got the name Rubberneck because they would wear leather around their neck, because Madison, I think it was in 1803, sent our Navy into the Mediterranean off the coast of Libya because the Arabs would put everybody into slavery. And they would actually attack European countries and take their women back for their harems and their men back into slavery and things of that nature. So my point very simply is there was no slavery worse than servitude, whether you were stuck down into a mine or you were indebted to work your life on somebody else's property through feudalism. That's what existed. It was far worse. Again, all slavery is bad. But with these things said, going back into 63, you have to look at the big picture and you have to see their goals. You have to see who the players were. John Kennedy woke up, realized these things. He wanted us out of Vietnam. He wanted to stop the proliferation of development of atomic bombs. The British monarch was consistently stealing our technology with the atomic bomb. They provided it to China and the Soviet Union, which all monarchs do, because what they do is they take their adversaries or their threat and they play them against each other so that they fight each other and they sit on the sidelines. Now, what we have to realize is what Karen has pointed out here with regards to the communist goals, okay, and when you look at them, there's 45. And they've been working on these since 1960. Lyndon Johnson and the communism, you have to remember, the only way you can have a new world order, which is a world government, and I've spoken to this issue, I've given speeches on it from an economic point of view, you cannot govern a people unless you can tax that people. So you cannot have a world government be recognized unless it can tax the world. And you cannot do that unless you have a communist government where the state is recognized, not the individual, nor God or Christianity or Judaism or Muslim. Okay? You have to recognize the state and only the state. Socialism is the road to communism. Communism is full government, whereas socialism is a mixture of fascism and socialism, with fascism being the corporations guide the future and agenda and policy of the figurehead or puppet in government. Mussolini was a good example. World War II was an amazing chance for a doctorate degree to do a thesis on studying all three at work at the same time. You had fascism under Mussolini in Italy. You had socialism being implemented and under Hitler to get to the communism under his control. And then you had already communism in the Soviet Union, which was brought about by the Lenin Revolution and then furthered in 1917 with the creation of the Federal Reserve Act, and then income tax under the 16th Amendment, because the Federal Reserve would create money out of thin air, and then you needed to be able to tax the population to be able to pay for the debt that it created. Now, we right now, if we lose our moral turpitude, if we do not hold fast, because we are up against a whole generation that is described in number 4 through number 7 specifically in the communist goals, and number 19 through number 30, and you could say each and every one of them, they lack the cognitive and critical thinking to think on their own. They're driven by hate and emotion placed in their heart, which is easy to do. The lower the education, the less educated, the more emotional a being becomes, because they're ignorant.
And that was a statement from Khrushchev. He said,
yes,
the more educated people, they will require more from their government. So
yes,
educate them less.
99% of the population of the 13 colonies was literate, and they were very literate, shall I say, the Bible. And I'm not speaking out in support of one religion over the other. The point is, if you ever sat down and attempted to read the Bible, if you think Shakespeare's hard, sit down and read the Bible, okay? So we had people, children, being taught out of the Bible. So they were very well educated. They were literate. So the brochures and things that were being put out, Sam Adams and the rest of the crew, they were read. You can't get people to read a book or a newspaper today, and you can't even get them to read more than 2 paragraphs. You got to get it to them in a sound bite, and they believe whatever they read. Look at Detroit, 95% illiteracy rate back in 2012. So getting back to the Obama administration in 2008, you had the 7-year-olds through 10-year-olds, 4th through 6th grade, they're being targeted. And that's who's out in the streets right now. They were targeted with the psychiatrist, the Ritalin, the other drugs, mind-altering, controlling drugs, affecting their ability to feel things or be able to think. Then you were dealing with the Common Core. In addition to that, the teachings of dividing, hate, racism, all this nonsense that focused on saying that there were differences in our country instead of unity. Focusing on the color of the skin, not the heart, not the mind. This is what you do to try to go in and divide a nation. This stuff is not new. It's been going on for thousands of years. Would you not agree, Karen?
Yes, I agree 100%. What Ricky is describing right now is called multiculturalism, where you bring people here and allow them to maintain their own culture within the country, not paying attention to the country. So their allegiance is always to their home country. And by keeping them with different languages, with different in different neighborhoods where they all wind up living together, so they never get to experience anything about America, because what they're being fed is basically 2 steps up from what they had at home, and they think it's wonderful. So, Ricky, I want to thank you for pointing that out.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue: Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
This is Karen Schoen with the Prism of America's Education. Over the weekend, a friend sent me a video which I would suggest that everyone go and take a look at. It's very short. You can find it on YouTube. And it was a video done by a parent. His name is Matt Moss, and he is in Los Angeles. And he was in total shock to find out that his daughter, who was in school for 4 days, has brought home material now that has been slanted towards BLM and the 1619 Project, which it appears as though they are infiltrating this ideology in our schools. Let us remember what the president of BLM said, or one of the leaders said. She said, "We are trained Marxists." What is a Marxist? A Marxist is a communist. Our children will be learning communism if this is allowed to happen. I went back and I took a look at the goals of communism, which were read into the congressional record in 1963. And there are three goals that specifically target education. Goal number 17 says, get control of the schools, use them as transmission belts for socialism and current communist propaganda. Soften the curriculum, get control of teachers' associations, put the party line in the textbooks. That was goal 17. Goal 18 says, gain control of all student newspapers. And goal 19 says, use student riots to foment public protests against programs or organizations which are under communist attack. Well, at this point, I would have to say, mission accomplished. I have asked Pastor Rick from the Florida Citizens Alliance to join me today so that we can discuss this new curricula, which seems to be promoted and will now be put in our schools if we're not paying attention. Pastor Rick, thank you for joining me. I have a question for you. I know that you are on top of education. What do you think about this new communist curricula being infiltrated into our educational system?
Well, thanks for having me, Karen. And my thoughts are, wow, who could have ever believed this would happen in our country? It's just absolutely chilling, and all Americans should be aware of it and concerned about it. It's coming at us from a lot of directions, and people who will use any method they can to get it into our children and to convince them that this Marxist ideology is the right way to go. It's absolutely frightening, and it will result in, if not the dilution of our liberties, it'll result in changing our country from the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Oh, you are so right. As we are seeing this happening today, just from all the rioting that's going on. And let's remember, folks, also that communists believe that the rioting is a normal function due to the frustration that the kids are feeling because they are so wronged. And where are they learning that they're wronged? They're learning that from this curricula. This curricula does not teach traditional classic education. What it does is its roots are rooted in Common Core, which we did, Pastor Rick, our organization, we fought very hard to get Common Core out of our schools. What was the reception of that, Pastor Rick?
Well, at first, nobody wanted to hear about it. In fact, when we first started talking about it in Tallahassee, when we visit members of the House and the Senate in Florida, they didn't even want to bring up the subject of Common Core. It was toxic to them. We later figured that probably the reason they didn't want to talk about it is because most of them voted for it when it came up, because it was associated with increased funding. But we kept chipping away, and parents kept speaking up, and we kept speaking up on their behalf. And we are, by way of standards, Common Core free. We've still got a lot of work to do in terms of the curriculum that's out there in a lot of different areas, but we're on the right track in Florida, and that's a great step forward.
Yes, and folks, what I'm telling you and what we are telling you is Florida. Use Florida as an example. Find out what we're doing, we're happy to share. It is so important to get your legislators involved. It's so important. And don't be afraid when they tell you no. Go back and do it again. Go back and do it again. This was a long haul, wasn't it, Pastor Rick? We didn't go there, and all of a sudden they said, oh, we welcome you, and we'll change everything for you.
No, they didn't do that. In fact, that's one of the big lessons that I think that people across the country learned from this. And I guess it was a little bit of a surprise to us, but we were too stubborn to take no for an answer, I guess you could say. But trying to get change and to help reform something as difficult as education is a marathon, not a sprint. And so many people go in and they think if they can have one meeting with one representative, maybe their local representative from their area, that that will result in things changing. I can tell you that the only way to get it changed is to repeatedly insist on the change. You don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be obnoxious, but you need to be firm and direct, and you need to follow up. Take people with you. It's a process. And if you stick to it, there, good things can happen. We found that out in Florida, and I want to encourage people to think of it as a marathon, not a sprint, and don't quit. Don't give up. You can win.
As a result of that, we have a wonderful scholarship in Florida that I think everybody should be copying all over the country, and that's called the Hope Scholarship. Can you describe that for us?
The Hope Scholarship is one of those things that our state government did that everybody we talk to about it says it's too good to be true. In fact, just before our conversation started today, Karen, I was talking to a grandmother who's concerned about two grandchildren. And I was explaining, she was asking, well, who decides whether they get the scholarship or not? And I said, the parents. But who gets to say yes or no to the funding? And I said, the parents. And we kept going around this a little bit. And finally, I helped her understand that in Florida, if your child is subject to an incident that is a qualifying incident for the Hope Scholarship, all it takes is for the parents to say it happened. And that's it. The school is duty bound to give them the scholarship notification form, and they can take that and apply the money from the state of Florida to a private school of their choice. It's really amazing.
It is absolutely amazing, and something that every state should copy. That's the goal of explaining what the Alliance is doing. Copy it in your state. Just because it's in Florida doesn't mean that it can't be copied in your state as well. The most important thing that I am focused on right now with the Alliance is the curricula. I had the opportunity to review some of the civic standards, and I was appalled to find out that in the civic standards, they hardly ever mentioned America. They de-emphasized the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, our national sovereignty, our founding fathers, and American exceptionalism. We can't have our kids being exceptional if they think they are communist victims. Wouldn't you agree, Pastor Rick?
Well, we need to help our kids know the facts about the founding and to understand what went on in those days. There were a lot of stresses and strains, and our kids are capable of sorting that out. We just need to teach them what's right and what's wrong. And too many times what we're finding is the efforts to teach history are being twisted and guided into an agenda to teach them a certain perspective on history and not to teach them what the founding fathers believed and what they did. Yes, there were a lot of difficult things, but boy, they did a great, great job of giving us a country that in the process got rid of a lot of the evils that we were all concerned about. So we need to celebrate that, not tear it down.
One of the major differences that I found with the traditional curricula, which is what I was used to teaching, and what's happening today with the Common Core, is that it is outcome-based. And what that means, folks, is they have determined the outcome of what your child will be, and they guide the child into that predetermined outcome. It becomes very subjective, and they are more concerned with feeling good than they are with getting skills and knowledge, which is why we have such a deficit in an understanding of America. We will be picking this up more and more and go much more into depth. And I appreciate the input from you, Pastor Rick, and we'll be back again next week to talk about another issue and what is happening in our schools. Remember, I often say that everything is connected. Nothing is random. Everything is planned and happens for a reason, and all plans are based on lies. There's a reason for this, and that reason is education. To me, education is the glue that holds America together, because education is the lowest common denominator. Every person in America, every American citizen, somehow is always connected to education. In 1989, America was ready to accept this new form of education. Shirley McClune from the McReel Foundation told the Association of Governors that education would now be changed. Let's think back then for a moment. Bill Clinton was a governor, and he was head of the Governors Association. George Bush, 41, was the president. What did Shirley tell the governors? She said that education was going to be changed from individualism to collectivism, from fact to value, from education to training. All of this was to manipulate the students into a group think, because it is easier to control the people who all think the same and are afraid to think outside the box. When was the last time you heard that phrase, think outside the box? Adolf Hitler said, make a lie big, make it simple, keep saying it over and over, and eventually it will be believed. Racism must be learned. Nobody is a racist coming out of mommy's womb. Nobody wakes up and says, I hate blacks, I hate Jews. These are things that have to be learned. They must be taught. You must be taught to hate. And this is where the training takes place in school, through psychological manipulation using technology. There are 400 data points that are constantly monitored, re-monitored, analyzed, re-analyzed, reconfigured, and constantly making references to nudge and then monitor reactions. When a kid sees something on the computer screen, if it isn't the answer that the outcome needs, then the kid will be asked a different question until eventually the outcome that is being sought will be the answer that is actually needed. Whether or not it is the answer that a kid wants to give, it does not matter, because your child's destiny will be in the hands of someone else. Remember, Shirley said, values, not facts. My question is always, whose values? We have seen this in the past as males have been told and been coached. Males are being coached to remove those horrible masculine traits. I can just imagine what horrible actions these men will be responsible for in the future as they lose their self-esteem and have to prove their existence in some other manner. There's no surprise that they tattoo, that they do drugs, and take violent actions as they learn that human life doesn't have any meaning. America's children are being taught to hate America. American social engineers have systematically gone about destroying the intellect of millions of American children for the purpose of leading the American people into a socialist world government controlled by behavioral and social scientists. You can find this information from Charlotte Iserby on her fantastic website called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America. As I reviewed some of the texts the students use, I find the biggest error is omission. If a child is not taught the Constitution, they have no idea what it means. How can you fight for something when you have no idea that it exists? How can you fight for freedom when you don't know what freedom is? So aside from spitting in America's face, the students are fighting a cause that has no merit. And just like the Trump, Russia, China story, it's a lie. So is their education. When you use a lie to create a policy, the policy will fail. So what do we have? We have the same policy from the past, only now it has a new name. Instead of being called No Child Left Behind, it's called Common Core. And we are getting a glimpse of the truth that the Russians and the Chinese and the Islamists are really influencing our government. They have been influencing our government for a long time. But it's not just the government. They are in education, they are in our bureaucracy, and they are in our policies. Education has become big business. Those people involved are making billions of dollars. Every time a new curricula is put in, the schools have to purchase new books, new materials. And now most of the programs are online so that the children can be monitored constantly. For a better understanding of this new America and how dangerous it is, I hope you will come back next week because we are not done. You can find the Prism of America's Education on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, Saturday and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Eastern, and later as a podcast on the America Out Loud Podcast Network. For those of you who like to read, you can read my articles on the America Out Loud Radio Network or by going to KarenShone.com. For backup and historical information, please visit my website, Agenda21Today.com. Do you think America is worth saving? If not you, who? If not now, when?
But I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America.